Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Here we go. It's hour one, G-Bag Nation 105.3. The Fan, thanks for making us part of your day and welcome in here to this three-hour tour here as the Rangers will resume their series in Cleveland coming up pregame at 5 o'clock. General at your service. If you see me, bear me. N.A. There's Brian Broaddus, the former Cowboy Scout Super Bowl champion. Lucius Alexanders over here, Pimp Cup Master Control 75 and 635. You have Eric Chiafalo and Zach Wolchuk. And you have Austin Nix coordinating your video. And you can watch as you can listen with the Odyssey app, instant rewind functionality. Norway just finished off a win over Ivory Coast 2-1. Holland with the winner out there, about 15 minutes from time. Little tap-in situation there. Had a beautiful cross. Didn't have to do much work, but they're moving on to the round of 16. Day one of NBA free agency is what it's all about, though. And how different do you guys think the Mavs could be here in the coming hours? You got anything big cooking yet?
You know, I did have the thought. Uh-oh. I don't know how many fans are going to be happy about it.
Be careful.
Why wouldn't LeBron want to come to Dallas?
Okay.
See, I mean, the Kyrie stuff that happened 2 years ago, we were talking about that. Him and Kyrie wanted to play together again.
Yeah.
I think you'd have just to get a chance. Maybe I'm off on it. I don't think the Warriors are doing anything. I don't think that's really getting him closer to a championship. You've got a young Cooper Flagg who's an emerging star. You've got your buddy Kyrie Irving. You add LeBron to this thing. And then I don't know what other shrewd moves they could make along the way. Masai Ujiri is kind of one of these guys that's a wild card. I don't know that we fully can know what to expect from Masai. And this isn't just me hoping it happens. Just why not? I don't get why Dallas wouldn't be considered an option for LeBron because of the Kyrie connection.
Yeah, and that would be an incredible story. If Golden State doesn't work out, I think it becomes realistic. You know, if I was power ranking it after that, I'd probably still say Miami's got to be very appealing. Mm-hmm. Cleveland, heading home to Cleveland's got to be very appealing for LeBron James.
If you want a championship, I'd try and sign in San Antonio if I were him. Play with Wemby.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, that's a fun discussion. I have no problem doing a thought experiment with you on that. I mean, it's a lot more fun than talking about Marcus Sasser.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is more fun than talking about Marcus Sasser, even though that seems more realistic at this point than a LeBron situation. I don't know. I think him and Kyrie are on pretty good terms. There was that weird deal with the 10-year reunion with the Cavs championship team that Kyrie was on, and those guys all just went on some little vacation together. Kyrie wasn't there. There was some weird internet fodder and back and forth. Seems like Kyrie's cleared the air on that. So, I mean, we know that Kyrie and LeBron were kind of thinking about a Lakers reunion,
right?
So,
you think with no Mark Cuban,
no Mark Cuban,
no Jason Kidd, new management, new ownership, it's like, man, why would I risk all of that? They even got it together yet?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think the idea of going to a well-established organization in terms of, you know what you get in Cleveland, you know what you have in Miami, you've been to both of those places, and then the allure, like, is it as sexy for LeBron to reunite with Kyrie in Dallas or to go do something that you had never done before, go play in Golden State with Steph and Draymond and just all, you know, all of that hoopla, with at least knowing what you have in Steve Kerr and the way the Warriors operate as an organization, knowing that that's something that you've at least seen proof of concept?
Yeah,
I could
see.
By far, that's the sexiest option.
Yes, it is.
I think that is the sexiest.
Especially if that whole AD package thing is something they can pull off. Now, didn't they just bring back Kristaps Porzingis?
They did.
Yeah.
So I don't know financially. Is that, I mean, that can strap them a little bit.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, like, I wonder how important money is to LeBron right now. Is it a place where you need a big enough dollar figure to feel respected and appreciated for the value that you're bringing to that business, I mean, to that brand?
I think LeBron is getting ahead of things right now.
Okay.
I think that's what he did with the Lakers. I don't think the Lakers wanted him back. I don't think the Lakers really wanted to be the voice that said, yeah, we are the ones deciding that we don't want LeBron back. So it behooves everyone for LeBron to just get out ahead of it and be like, hey, I don't want to be there anymore. Looks like I made the decision. And now you have the Windhorse and the Shams saying, like, it's all about happiness for LeBron. Nothing to do with money. I think he knows there ain't much money out there for him. Yeah. And so let's just get ahead of it. Hey, I'm not doing this for money anymore. So, yeah, I'll accept whatever offer because I'm accepting that, not because that's the only thing that's out there for me.
I could see that. It is pretty cool if he wants to keep playing, you know, because I think he could add value to a team that's close like Cleveland. I
think absolutely.
If we can get LeBron without having to give up something of significance, you know, and if I'm at the height of my powers and money's still not a factor, I think if I'm LeBron James, I can still play it at such a high level. Maybe compared to what I was, I'm only a 7 out of 10. But still, it's very good. And the value that I would provide a team, push them over the top, maybe get my fifth championship. And I think for most people, I agree with Eric, we've sort of made our conclusions on how we feel about that, and we're tired of that argument. But I mean, his career could span so much longer, and you're just one championship away at that point, which I think would further solidify his argument for at least being Jordan's equal.
Yeah, I mean, I think going back to Cleveland would probably be the best story arc for him. Just finishing his career with the team that drafted him back home. They're a team that was just in a conference finals. The East is wide open. They probably that's probably the best chance to get back to the finals, depending on what other roster moves they want to make. I mean, there was the rumor of, you know, him for Jared Allen to try and appease Luka, who wants a center. Obviously, they don't have to do that. If he's a free agent, he can just go sign in Cleveland. They don't have to give up anything. So that would make a lot of sense. I'd like to see him go back to Cleveland. And I think that would be the smartest thing for him. But maybe there is some fun in, all right, let's go play with Steph. Let's go stay on the West Coast with Golden State.
Well, the Mavs fan feedback is pretty large here. 817, we don't need LaFlop screwing up Cooper Flag. 325, will not be a Mavs fan if LeBron comes to Dallas.
Wow.
940, if the Mavs sign LeBron, I'm out. And I just got back in. Please no.
Yeah, it seems like I haven't seen a text that's pro LeBron to the Mavs.
The LeBron hate is palpable.
It you know is, what? Dude.
It's funny when I think about LeBron and now where he is in his life. If you follow him along, he's fallen in love with golf. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if he's going to show up at a place that has tremendous golf. Where he could be like you know, I know basketball is a winter sport and all that, but if he goes to a place where he could play golf majority of the time.
It'll be the Golf and State Warriors. That's what Steph does. I'm sure San Fran's got it.
I was thinking about what Zach was saying, though, but being in Texas, like you could basically play year-round golf here.
Yeah.
You know, and I was just – it was just kind of thinking, like, you get to a point in time when you have all the money and you really have this new passion – and I'm thinking, where would he go where he could play golf all the time? He could play golf in Florida all the time. He wanted to go back to, you know, if they did Miami or Orlando or one of those places. You know, he could go try and do that. I'd keep an eye on a team, on somebody that's going to try and lure him, like, all right, man, we got this for you.
Lifestyle.
You know,
and there's a lot in the past between him and ownership in Cleveland. You know, I wonder if they could see eye to eye, or if he would want to help him, you know, and I just don't see how that would play out. Now, for Mavs fans, even if you're the first place team, you're still hating LeBron. Like, LeBron comes here and Cooper Flagg takes a big jump. Everything's working perfect. You got your two centers plus the rookie, and like PJ Washington is still here. Mm-hmm. Najee Martin. Listen, this would be an incredible roster.
No, the roster
would
be
still hating LeBron?
I don't think.
Is this basketball, or do you just like hate LeBron?
Thank you. I don't know.
Because he has been, I don't know. He's always had like a really likable personality. Is it political stuff? Like, why do people hate LeBron so much? He would be great for Cooper Flagg. You're talking about one of the highest court IQs and a great running buddy who could set up Cooper Flagg.
I mean, look at what he's done to sustain his health and his body, right? Like, all of those things that he can help with Flagg. Like, I don't view him as some guy that's just been a terrible mentor.
Is this just because of the rivalry and playing him in the finals? I respect that.
Yeah, I'm sure that I actually would think that has something to do with it.
But you smoked him. The Mavs embarrassed him.
Yeah, all of them. But he also was disrespectful to the Dirk.
And that's what makes the embarrassment more. You did the cough and everything, and he still beat Joe behind with the cough.
There you go.
Like, the hate is towards Wade. I never viewed the hate as towards Bosh or LeBron. It was always Wade.
Well, Wade is, he's in a different tier all by himself based on 06.
Yeah.
But they were both a part of the making fun of the sick Dirk situation. But I don't know. I'm sure there's plenty of the political stuff that has to do with it. Just the way, the lying, even though it's kind of just funny and silly, but like all the random things that he's lied about. And he's just been, he's been the face of the league for so long, it's long enough to become the villain kind of thing.
Yeah. I could see that.
You know, team hopping, super teams. Oh, you're the chosen one, but you had to bounce around with superstar to superstar just to not even meet the MJ expectation.
The player empowerment era.
Yeah.
You know, that was all kind of, I mean, yeah, I get the decision.
Taking my talents. That's where it really started right there, bro.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah, and those basketball reasons are great. You know, that's just classic sports hate type of stuff. But for me, that changes. And I guess I've appreciated LeBron as he's gotten older more. I like to cheer for the old guy getting it done against the young guys. Once a player like that comes to your team and is helping you be in first place, I think things shift. You know, the first time I noticed it was Danny Ainge. And if you were around in the 80s, you knew that everybody was complaining about Danny Ainge. He was a dirty player. He was always complaining to the refs, and he played for the freaking Celtics, right? So they're always winning. And he was like this try-hard role player that would, like, bow up to your star player, but he really couldn't fight. You know, he's just pesky like that. And you hated Danny Ainge. And then he was traded to, like, the Trailblazers in 1991, and he quickly became, you know, a fan favorite. But I guess only Brian would remember that, and it seems like he's watching the soccer.
No, I remember Danny Ainge. I do. I'm fascinated by what our quarterback, Jameis Winston's doing.
He's been fantastic.
He is totally – sorry about that, Dawson.
You're good.
You're good, man. But I'm watching – he's got a Viking get up on, you know, and he's in the crowd, and he's
– Yeah, he was having fun today.
He has figured out how this all works.
Yeah.
You know, good for him.
Content machine.
He is a content machine.
Okay, the Rangers win again. Cam Colley was a run scoring machine last night. He had two of them in his major league debut, had the game-winning hit, scored an insurance run in the ninth, and he's going to join you coming up here in about 10 minutes on your home of the Rangers. It'll be the time for the Rangers player show, and Cam Colley's going to join us. One of your guys' favorite from spring training. So,
our guy.
I mean, this story is really amazing how, you know, guys like Foscue and Cam Colley are, you know, getting it done for the Rangers in a big way, and they continue to, you know, play great baseball. So we're excited about the pregame coming up at 5 o'clock and getting a chance to talk with Cam Colley. Colley might be playing quite a bit more with Brandon Nimmo's sprained AC joint. Is that what he's got?
Yeah, that's what the MRI confirmed. We still don't know if he's going to have to go on the IL or not. Maybe they'll make that decision today.
I mean, like, football players can play through that.
It's a pain tolerance.
But baseball, like, the shoulder mobility is just a little bit more important.
And throwing, you know.
Yeah. So we'll hope for the best for Brandon Nimmo, but that's unbelievable. They might bring up Josh Smith to play some outfield. And they might try to bring back Kelenic, who would need to clear waivers first. That's kind of the outlook for the Rangers.
I'm kind of liking that Kelenic thing. I realized that he was a former high thought of type of guy. Boy, he looked awful playing for the Rangers, right?
Yeah.
I mean, overwhelmed. Yeah, a little bit overwhelmed. Yeah.
They are a game over 500, though. They are a half game up on the Mariners in the West still, and two games ahead of the Astros, three games ahead of the Athletics now, getting a little bit of breathing room here with this incredible winning streak. First time they have been over since 12-11 back on April 21st. And, you know, the question for all Rangers fans right now, you got to answer it for yourself. Is this for real? You know, is this just a matter of, wow, look at what they're doing, banged up, just wait until they get healthy? I mean, now 18-11 in the last 29 games.
I think the banged up team's doing a really good job right now.
Mm-hmm.
The banged up, whoever the banged up fill-in guys are, they've kind of got things figured out a little bit. against some good teams too.
And they're doing it with some, you know, the pitching that they're putting together. Cal Quantrill gets a win against Dylan Cease the other night. You know, and of course they're not going head to head, but that's a game you think you're going to lose. Last night
they got Clowney off the couch to get some sacks last night, didn't they?
Yeah, with Paddock.
Paddock, I mean, that was impressive.
Paddock goes four innings. Yeah. It's they're winning with some grit and toughness, and they're doing what good teams do, which is find a way to win when you're not at your best. So it's definitely trending in a positive direction. Yeah.
Similar thing happened last year with the Little Rascals, didn't it?
It did.
You know, you call these guys up, they play with a little chip on their shoulder, a little excitement, and you know, they bring some of that young man energy to the table when you need it most right here midsummer, and the Rangers benefiting once again from quality depth across the organization. Tanner Bibby has received little run support for the Guardians. He's 2-8 with a 3.78, a 1.14 whip. And he'll be on the hill tonight for Cleveland against Jacob DeGrom, sitting at 3.55 with a 1.03 whip. So we're feeling pretty good going into this once again as a quality 5-game winning streak now is going on for your Texas Rangers. We got the champ and Woolchuck's top 10 here before we get out of this hour, but Cam Colley joins you next.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before, and that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the Fan. All right, welcome back. It is the G-Back Nation here on 105 through the Fan. It's time now for the Rangers Player Show. And we're excited to talk with this man. Made his debut last night in exciting fashion. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first. 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. The Rangers Player Show brought to you by Golden Chick and Globe Life. For over 125 years, Globe Life has helped protect families when they need it most. Globe Life, make tomorrow better. Yeah, he tripled and scored the go-ahead run last night in the seventh, his first big league hit and first run. Played second base for the Rangers last night. It's Cam Colley here with you on the Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
How's it going? Pleasure to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. It's so much fun right now watching you guys play. Now, what's these last couple of days been like for you, though?
Just grateful. I mean, really can't put it into words. Just super grateful and blessed to be here. And with these group of guys here, I mean, they welcomed me from the moment I walked in and have treated me like a rookie. But also, I can tell that they're doing it with love. And, I mean, the group of guys here are amazing.
What's the rookie treatment like?
Nothing serious yet. I mean, I got a little beer shower yesterday, had a whole bunch of stuff in my hair and on the body, but just like the small remarks they make, just kind of just mess with me, but I know it's all good things, and they treat me well.
Was that your first beer shower?
Yeah, I think I was a part of one in AAA because we had a position player closed out a game for us, and it was first save, so I guess we were just said, let's do it, let's have some fun. So we just made him wear a whole bunch of beer and mustard and ketchup. So that was the first time I was the victim of it, though.
Well, Cam, you're one of our favorites, man. We got to catch up with you a little bit during spring training in the clubhouse, and I know yesterday in the post game you were talking about some of the adjustments you made before you ended up hitting that triple. Overall, from the start to the end of the game, what was your experience like in your first major league debut?
Yeah, I mean, I just really tried to take it all in. That's what Skip told me. I mean, Rags, Jenko, the players, they all were like, just take it in and have fun. You only do it once. So I really was just taking it in. And then as the game went on, it was like, man, screw that. I want to win this game. like, screw the debut. I'm trying to win. I didn't realize it was nationally televised either until, like, I saw ESPN signs. I don't remember who I asked. I was like, hey, are we on, like, ESPN? They were like, yeah. I was like, oh, snap. I gotta do something cool here. I got the triple, scored, and then once we took the lead, I was like, hell yeah. And then later on, Foss with clutch hits, Berger clutch hits, Jung. I mean, it was a full team win, and, I mean, Lats and Junis, and Paddock, Alexander, they all came in and shoved. So it was a good win.
Well, speaking of ESPN, how nice is it to do an interview right now where you can actually hear the host and the host can hear you after your SportsCenter debut last night?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot easier doing it like this. I would say that for sure.
Man, those hosts were losing it on the set. They had no idea how to handle it. I felt bad for you, but you were doing your thing. They were drowning in studio. It was hilarious to watch, but it was amazing to watch you play last night. And even throughout the spring, like, you were the star of Surprise when we were out there, and it was so great to catch up with you and then watch you perform. But what was the mindset like? Because you have all this excitement going on during spring training and then going back to Round Rock at this point. Like sort of balancing the disappointment of not making the team, but also understanding, like, man, you're headed in the right direction.
Yeah. I mean, you got to stay where your feet are at. I mean, I think that's what it boils down to. I mean, I can't look too far ahead and can't look in the past. Just show up to Round Rock every day. And I mean, that's my team. I'm trying to win with them. I'm trying to fight with my teammates there. I know everybody knows what the end goal is, but I can't look too far ahead. So I knew if I did everything right and just stayed the course and do what I know I need to do, I knew that the dream would come true at some point, and I'm just blessed that it happened now and with this group of guys.
It's your Texas Rangers Cam Colley here in the G-Bag Nation. You've been a very malleable player, kind of being able to play wherever they've asked you to play, Cam. Did they kind of tell you maybe what the plan was with you getting called up? Do you have a certain position you're going to be staying at, or are you going to be expecting to move around a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't tell you that. I mean, if I had to guess from my point, I'd say that anywhere they need me, that's where they're gonna put me, and that's what I'm ready for. I mean, wherever the team needs me to go, if it's the pinch run in the ninth, then I'm going to do it. If it's to come in and bunt, I'm going to do it. It's whatever the team needs to win. I mean, I'm not here for anything else but to help this team make it to the playoffs and beyond that. So that's the goal. And wherever it's done, if I need to catch a game, I'll go and catch.
Let's go.
Hey, Cam, when you had the triple, off the bat, did you know you had a triple? Or was it like, hell with it, I'm just going to keep running until somebody stops me? Because when you got to second, it's like you hadn't picked up anybody. You were just like, you were motoring for third.
Yeah. So out of the box, I knew I had two for sure. And then after I touched first, I did a little peek and I noticed the right fielder kind of was like fumbling with the ball. And then I just my instinct said if he's fumbling the ball, I think with my speed I can beat it, because they're gonna have to make a perfect relay throw to the second baseman and a perfect one to third. And I kind of just betted on myself to be safe. And I knew in that point of the game, tie ball game in the seventh, me being on third, with one out, I think the aggressiveness on that part is the smart thing to do. So I just kind of trust myself and just couldn't really feel my legs running. I was just like, get to third and be safe.
Did you have family make it up for the game?
Yes, my wife was here, and my mom and dad were here, and so was my agent. My brother is he has to do work down at home, and my other brother just had a newborn, so they're kind of stuck there for now.
Were they baseball players too?
Yes, they're probably watching. They probably had a little house party or something back home, and they're probably just making holes in the wall or something, going crazy when I hit it. So I wish. I mean, I bet they have a video of it. I'll see it soon, but I bet they were just going nuts back at home.
Hey, Cam, who's got the ball? I know they handed it to you. You know, you get it after the game like that. Who's got the ball? Was that one you put in a special spot and at the hotel? You just kind of holding it and just kind of saying, "Damn, here we are," kind of a thing.
Yeah. It's actually at my locker. I haven't taken it anywhere. I'm going to wait till I get home, and then I'll figure out who I give it to. But most likely it's going to be the parents, or I'll keep it. It's whatever my mind's thinking at the time. It'll probably be just like I'll do that type of decision.
Well, you got a big decision. I saw the other day where we had a guy, A.J. Pierzynski, gave a ball to the Pope, you know, like a ball that won the World Series. You know, like finished out a World Series. So you got a big decision there. If you want to give it to the Pope, I'm sure he'll take it.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. If I ever get to meet him, then I might give him more than just a ball. So, I mean, he might
get
life savings or something.
Cam, what did you do yesterday that maybe you're going to do today? I mean, like the superstition, since you were so successful and the team wins, do you carry any of that over into today?
I used to be really superstitious, and then once I got the Pro Bowl, I realized they kind of don't matter because no matter what, you're going to fail. So, like, I think superstitions get you in your head, and then you start overthinking things. But I will say I have wore the same tights every game. They do wash them, but that's my little thing.
Except the hair, though, right? Like, you're not going to – you told us you're not cutting the hair. You'll never play ball with short hair again.
Yeah, I mean – if I do get a cut, it'll be like a nice little fade or something on the sides, but I always got to keep the flow. It helps me feel a little swaggy out there.
It's Cam Cauley with you here on The Fan. Okay, you don't seem like a guy who the pressure bothers much because you're just so busy having fun. Am I right about that? Because I was going to ask you, like, how important is it to immediately have success getting called up to the big leagues? How much are you feeling pressure?
I don't think pressure is really the thing. I mean, I feel like you have pressure everywhere you're at. I mean, you want to succeed everywhere you're at. The only thing that changed was maybe the stadium was a little bit bigger and there's more fans, but I always say before the game in my prayers, like, this is a kid's game. Just go have fun. I mean, the guys are older, they're more experienced, but it's a kid's game. I mean, we're all the same once we step between those lines. So just go have fun. And I just try to not fear anything and just play free. I mean, if I go out there, I play hard, play fearless, and the results don't go my way, I can go home that night and sleep well because it's like I did everything I could. It's just when you go out there and you start second-guessing yourself and you're passive and you're thinking about what you messed up on, that's what will keep you up at night and keep those slumps in the slumps instead of just like saying, screw it, man. Just go out there and compete. Go have fun. This is a kid's game that I get to play on this stage. I mean, I'm just grateful for it, and just go out there and just live it up.
You're 29 for 29 on stolen bags. What's the most stolen bases you've ever had in a game?
In a game, I really don't know. I mean, I would probably say four, maybe three or four, if I had to guess.
I love it. All right, how much of that is just because you're so damn fast, and then how much of that is like an art and a skill being able to make that happen?
I think speed definitely helps. Like, I'm not going to lie and say, oh, if you're slow, you can get bags. And you can, but there also is an art of you have to pick the counts you go. You have to know the pitcher. You have to know the time to home. You have to know the pop time, this like scenario, the situation. Like, there's a lot of things that go into it that if you are out, it's okay to be out in that situation because there's certain parts where you get thrown out. I mean, like last night in the top of the ninth, if I'm at second, I try to steal there. I mean, that's a stupid, in my opinion, that's a dumb situation to steal in because you got the leadoff up. We have our hitters coming up, and I like our matchup. So it's like I'm going to trust the hitter here, and I'm going to trust my speed to score. So I think the speed helps, but there's also a little bit more that goes into it just so if you do get out or you are safe, it's the right situation to go.
Does Skip know that he can trust you on that?
Hopefully, if he listens to this, I mean, I'm not going to.
Sounds like you got a pretty good handle on it.
Yeah, if he's listening right now, maybe he'll give me some freedom. But, I mean, whatever he tells me to do, I'm going to do it. I'll tell you that much.
Love it. That's a great attitude. Now, we'd be remiss if we didn't ask you about being All-State honorable mention at wide receiver at Barbers High School your junior year. Yeah. You're a pretty good football player, too?
I was decent. I mean, I was just. I remember my dad, because baseball was always my thing. My dad was like, hey, just get down. Like, so I would get hit a little bit, but it was just I was trying to juke everybody out and score and not get hit hard because I knew in a month or two I had baseball season coming up, and that's what I was looking forward to.
So did you play all 4 years of football,
I played my first 3 years, and then COVID happened that junior year, and going into the summer, I never really did any showcase or anything growing up. And we decided to go to one because, I mean, that was the only thing we had to do. And I had a couple, like, scouts reach out and a couple things. Like, my agent reached out or at the time my advisor, and I was like, oh, snap, like, maybe this is a thing. And then just thinking about it, it was like, I would love to play, but I think for my future and in the long haul, I think it was the best thing I did was not to play that year. And I really got the whole year to train, and because my whole life I've never just been a baseball player. I've always been an athlete is what I like to say. I played every sport. Like, I wouldn't pick up a bat until January of the year, and the season started in February in high school. So, like, I never really was a full-time baseball player. And I think taking that fall off from football and focusing on baseball really helped and perplexed my career.
I bet the soccer coaches were after you.
That's probably the one sport I've never played. But I think I could be. I've been watching the FIFA. I feel like I can be pretty good. I don't even know the rules or nothing, but I feel like I can just run and get the ball and kick it.
Yeah, with the speed. Hey, what's the process like when you get called up? When did you find out? Sometimes they post that on the social media with the team, which I think is pretty cool. But for you,
yeah.
who called you? I mean, what was the information process like for that?
Yeah, so we were in Tacoma on Saturday, and I had two at-bats, and I got pulled from the game, and I was just like, what the hell? Like, I'm not hurt. I didn't do nothing wrong. Like, what's going on? And then my manager in AAA was like, hey, we got a call. Like, we'll let you know. And I said, all right. In the back of my mind, I'm like, you didn't tell me anything, dude. I don't know what's going on. And then after the game's over, I go up to an office. I'm like, hey, you got anything? He said, he kind of gave me the rundown, like, hey, there's a chance you get the call, but we won't know until tomorrow. So you're going to come in Sunday. You'll have the off day, get your work in, and then after the game, we'll find out what's going on. So I'm like, all right, sweet. Go back to the hotel with my roommate, Jonah Bride, and we're just chilling. And I had the alarm set for 9 or 10 because the bus is at 10:30 at the time. So I'm like, all right, just go in and get my work done. And my farm director calls my phone, but the ringer just never went off. And I was like, and he called at 6 a.m. our time, which, I mean, as an adult, I should be able to answer it, but I'm gonna take the leeway. I'm sorry. Sorry, Bonifay. I was sleeping. Because the whole time I was ready to go in on Sunday and get my work in and just figure out after the game what's going on. And then the hotel phone rings. I don't even pick it up. My roommate Jonah does. And I'm like half asleep like a zombie. I'm like clueless what's going on. And he's like, hey, this is for you. I think it's Bonifay. And I'm like half awake. And he's like showing me the phone. And I'm like, what is he holding? And I could tell it's the hotel phone. So I answer. And Bonnie's like, hey, Cam, like you're going to, you're flying out to Cleveland tomorrow. Or you're flying out to Cleveland in 3 hours. And I mean I've never woken up that fast in my life. Like I was out of that bed, quit packing. I went and got a coffee. I was waiting for the Uber. That's how early I was. And then I got here, and then the flights were a mess too. I mean, I got on the flight from Seattle to Chicago. We had a layover before I made it to Cleveland. So I get to Chicago and they say we're having to divert your plane to Milwaukee. Because of weather. Wow. So me looking at the phone, I'm looking, I don't even see any weather. I'm like, okay, what's going on? And then when we land in Milwaukee, I'm like, let's see how far Chicago is. It's like a 15-minute flight. I'm like, come on, we couldn't just fly straight into Chicago? So we sit on the runway for like 2 hours trying to get fuel. We get it. So I end up missing my connecting flight from Chicago to Cleveland. And all three of my checked bags with my baseball gear and all my stuff is still in Milwaukee.
Oh no!
So then the travel guy for the Rangers gets me a flight with United, and by the time I get there, I miss the check-in because you have to do it 30 minutes prior. So I'm walking up to the gate. I'm like, "Hey, can I get on this flight, please?" And they're like, "Oh, you didn't check in." I was like, "No, ma'am, please." I didn't tell them what was going on. I was just like, "Ma'am, please, I have to get on this flight. I cannot miss this." And they ended up getting me a seat. I made it on the flight. And then once I landed, I was like, all right, I made it. And then I said, oh, snap, I don't have anything. I don't have my clothes. I don't have my baseball gear. I have nothing. So I'm panicking. And then I get a text from Simpson, our travel guy, at like 8:30. He said, I have something for you. And he walks into the hotel with all my stuff. And that's when I like fully got relieved. I was like, okay, now I can just worry about playing.
What a roller coaster.
What a story.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Man. So did you pull the no, seriously, I'm a Texas Ranger and I'm going to debut tomorrow. I need to get on this plane. Yeah, is that how you got on? No.
No, I don't like to be like flaunted or anything. So like I didn't want any reason to draw attraction to me. So I was just trying to keep it low key, but like if you looked at my face and my eyes, you could tell, like, hey, man, please get me on this flight.
Well, congrats.
Incredible.
We all won last night. Thanks to Cam Colley's debut, man. Terrific job. Thanks for the conversation and the background on you, and give him hell. We'll be pulling for you.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.
There he goes.
We love you.
You're the best, bro.
We might be in love with you.
Cam Cauley with you here on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan.
That's awesome.
And now I can see why you guys liked him so much when you met him in spring training.
Cool cat, man.
Brought to you by Golden Chick and Globe Life. For over 125 years, Globe Life has helped protect families when they need it most. Globe Life, make tomorrow better. We're coming back with the top 10 and the G-Bag of the Day champ. Well, Chuck, where are you taking that top 10 today, buddy?
All right, Wheel. It is National Social Media Day. So I've got the top 10 social media sites that people cannot live without. 877-881-1053. What's the one that you could not punt on? That's next in the nation.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. And you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 Through the Fan. Thanks so much to Cam Cauley for joining us. The new Texas Ranger debuted last night. It was a really nice conversation. If you want to go back with that Odyssey app instant rewind functionality, we have some breaking news in the association. The Raptors are trading for Kawhi Leonard. So it's not clear yet what's going back to Los Angeles for him, but you can scratch one other name off the list of players who have been connected to the Mavs that could make them better immediately.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be Brandon Ingram, Grady Dick, two first-round picks, and one pick swap, and two second-rounders.
Dang, wow. Dude.
That is a lot.
That's a pretty good haul.
Yeah, that is for, 35-year-old now, Kawhi Leonard.
I don't know. I think they're overpaying for vibes or something like that.
Yeah.
We'll pick up this conversation a little bit later on as it's day one of free agency. We'll get Wolchuk's top 10 here in just a second, but let's go into the Pimp Cup. Lucius Alexander has your champ.
Okay. Our champion of G-Bag of the Day so far is the Cape Verdean soccer team.
Right.
They were on BBC when they scored their very first ever World Cup goal. Ever. Put this island on the map right here, man. Yeah, BBC was out there interviewing the Cape Verdean people, and they caught the goal.
Yes. What's your appraisal of the way the Cape Verdean team has been playing so far?
I personally think Cabo Verde has been playing great. It's been matching Uruguay's pressure.
That's a goal! That's a goal! Oh, the Cape Verde has broken. He has made history tonight, scoring a live goal here. And you can see Marcelo working.
What do you make of it?
You just saw it. I'm live on the BBC. Kevin has just made history, scoring the first ever World Cup goal in the tournament. You can probably see from behind me the ecstasy, the exhilaration, and the euphoria in this place. Amanda, a big deal for the Cape Verdeans. It's one that will go into the history books, I must tell you.
What do you make of it?
That dude is amazing.
Yeah.
And that is why.
He stayed focused.
He is your G-Bag of the Day champion. I do notice a lot of people pronouncing it kind of like Cabo Verde. Maybe that's a Portuguese word, Cabo Verde. I'm not sure.
If you go on and look, there's a lot of variations.
Yeah, they call themselves Cabo Verde. I've always heard Cape Verdean, so I'm sticking like that.
There's a lot of versions going on with that country.
Well, yeah, and we're all getting familiar with what they got going on as a soccer nation. As we got more games about to kick off after Norway advanced earlier today. We'll have another game starting here in about 40 minutes. Here's Wolchuk with his top 10 of T20.
All right, it is National Social Media Day, and I've got the top 10 social media platforms in the U.S. of A. that people cannot live without. Do we like social media, or has it just...
terrible.
Ruined us.
It had a run. It had a real nice, good run there. When Instagram was just photos. When Twitter was just everybody trying to crack jokes. Trying to get these jokes off, bruh. You know? Maybe some MySpace days.
Yeah, MySpace.
You go in there and see all your little things filled up. Like, I got love today. You got none. You know, whatever. Yeah, but now it's just like trying to get fake takes off. You're killing people that's not even dead just for likes and engagement. It's nasty.
It's become toxic and evil.
It's bots.
Yes. It's a cesspool of just negativity a lot of the time. There can be some good there, and it's great, I think, in our line of work to try and get instant information. That's been fantastic. I don't know, really, I think it'd be hard to do our prep without X now, you know, without all that, you know, where to find it. And Shams, like Shams just reported and broke the news, right? With that, I don't know, would we get an alert? Maybe it's ESPN. That's also social media. So that's changed the game. But gosh, there's a lot of bad things that have come around with social media as well.
Yeah, you know, I think at its best, it's highly entertaining and informative. And in the early days of Twitter, it was cool because you could kind of do your show prep off of just looking at different timelines. And sure, that's how we break news now. So mm-hmm, there's a lot of great value to it. I think one of the coolest things is the short video content and just how it's like America's funniest home videos in perpetuity, specially curated for your likes, you know?
Yeah, and the algorithm gets, which is also kind of terrifying.
Yeah,
that they know what you like, they're listening to you, and they're kind of just showing you.
Yeah, they, yes, that algorithm knows.
It knows.
It knows.
I mean, it's like we're sitting here, we can
no
be talking.
No more thighs, that's enough!
Yeah. Stop it, stop it! We're sitting here talking about something, next thing you know, I'll wake up in the morning, and bam, there's videos of it, you know, on the TikTok page. It's crazy.
It's listening.
It's wild to me. But here it is, top 10 most used social media platforms in the USA that people could not live without. Number 10, can't say I use this, Pinterest.
Do.
No.
Yeah?
They have great recipes.
Oh, okay.
The recipes on Pinterest are unbelievable.
Chicks dig Pinterest.
Chicks are into the Pinterest. Get some good creative ideas, good cooking,
yes,
ideas.
Good designing ideas.
Yep. Crafts. Yeah.
Inspo.
9 is LinkedIn. Fortunately, I never had to dabble with LinkedIn.
Kind of becoming a hookup thing a little bit.
Is it?
Yeah,
is
like high-end
LinkedIn?
Yeah, kind of hooking up with people and stuff like that. Yeah, it's kind
Dude,
of
you could market LinkedIn.
I think so. Absolutely. When you want to hook up with somebody with a nice resume.
Yeah. Yeah. The secret CEO.
6 years here, huh?
Wow. With billionaires.
Oh, look, some stability at that workplace.
Aren't you? Yeah. You finished the job, don't you?
What time's your lunch break?
Very committed.
Number 8 is X, formerly known as Twitter, which will always be Twitter to us, Lucius.
Yeah.
I'll never call it X.
Timo Twitter now.
Yeah.
I used to love it, and I dislike it now because of getting hacked.
Yeah, that's I understand.
Seriously.
You've gone through the ringer with that.
He hates it for very personal and selfish reasons.
I hate the fact that I can't.
Yeah, I get it.
For 10 years, I worked really hard to kind of build it up,
yeah,
you know, to use it for him. And then they don't care about you. They just don't. You could pay. You could be premium. You could do all that stuff. They do not care one bit. When that guy sold that thing, I think when he bought it, that's when it went downhill. Musk.
Yeah.
Musk. Bought that thing.
Jeez,
now
Musk.
I'm really not going to get my account back.
Yeah. Leon Musk, yeah, as my cousin calls him.
Oh, Leon.
Old Leon.
Oh, Leon.
Oh, Leon. Number 7 is Snapchat.
Never used that one.
I used it in college.
Yeah, for high school, college, it's fantastic.
But is that the one that goes away?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
you do
yeah,
something that goes yeah, away.
Well, it doesn't always go away.
Well,
you think it goes away.
And it can be damaging. Just ask Peyton about it.
Yeah, yeah.
You never know what's going to happen on Snap. Some people can try and
talk about kinked
in. I love the messaging with the funny filters you can put on your face for messaging with your kids.
Yeah.
It's you know,
yeah,
you
yeah, could, the I could see that stuff is
sure,
funny.
It's hilarious.
There were funny filters on Snapchat, like the B thing, and it changes your voice. Like yeah, there were some fun stuff on there. 6 is Reddit, which I know Bobby
yeah, that's
loves.
Mine right there, you, baby. Reddit? That's like the red light district of social medias. I love that one.
Okay. You can kind of get everything.
You can get everything right there, bro.
5 is WhatsApp, which is very popular, I know, outside of the States.
It is. It's a great way to use if you have to go out of the country yeah, to talk to somebody. It's very good.
Like anytime I went to South Africa, that's how we would communicate.
No question.
4 is TikTok. I'm a little surprised it was only 4. I feel like TikTok's kind of the number one thing right now.
It does seem that way.
It bites back, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, it does.
I think it's like really holds you there for a long time.
They're calling out these people, though. We've seen like the fake TikTokers doing the stuff. They have like to act like they're on the personal jets. And they've got personal jets now that are in sets.
Oh, yeah.
So you act like you're on a jet, but you're really just on a movie set.
And they're holding up toilet seats, yeah, and it looks like you're in the PJ, but you're really not.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So, yeah, it's crazy.
3 is Instagram.
You said, had a run.
IG
had a
incredible
run.
I think the reels have really popped off on there. Mm. People are using that as like similar to TikTok.
Yeah.
Just kind of go scroll through the doom scroll of the reels. Facebook at 2. But you
good
too.
For birthdays. That's about it.
It is good for birthdays.
Oh, yeah. It's sad. I don't like going to Facebook.
And for made-up deaths.
Yeah, it's like the obituaries, bro.
But number one is YouTube, the biggest social media platform in the United States that people could not live without.
The great time machine is what that thing is.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Wolchuk. Okay, we got one down, two to go here in the G-Bag Nation, and a football fix coming up next, buddy. Tell us about it.
All right, Cowboys final offseason grades, quarterback tiers, and the top five pass rushing duos featuring this former Cowboy. That's next in the Nation.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.